opening scripture, and it reads, Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I've read in our hearing this morning Psalm 100 in its entirety. It gives us the posture. It gives us the way in which we are to approach God, as we are to worship him, how we are to come before him, and how we do not come before him with complaining. We don't come before him with complaint, but we come before him this morning with thanksgiving and with praise. Over to you, Pastor Reggie. Lead us to the throne of grace this morning.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we are here today gathered on this line to give you glory, to give you honor, and to give you praise. You are an awesome God. You are our rock and our shield. You are our strong tower against the enemy. And Father, for that we say thank you. Father, we are reminded today who you are, an awesome God, the Most High God, our El Yah, our Elohim, our Creator, our Sustainer. And for that, Father, we say thank you. Father, we know that we sometimes fall a little short in your glory. But, Father, but through the blood of Jesus, Father, we have been made right with you. Father, we know that we are your children. Yes, shaping in your image, Lord God, for we follow you. Father, we know that you have forgiven us. And we confess any shortcomings that you might continue to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we know that you can present us before your presence with exceeding joy. And Father, we want to say today, we're here on this line to give glory to your name, but also hear a word from the Lord. We pray today for our messenger. We pray for Dr. Deb as she delivers the word today. We pray for Brother Al as he sings praises to God. We pray for Sister Gloria as she reads scripture for us today. We pray for anyone who's on this line, whether they're standing, sitting, or laying down, Father, that they are in your presence. And so, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for all the saints, all the ambassadors that come on this line to be encouraged from a word of God. We thank you, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that we can do everything that we're doing today would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, oh God, because you are our strength and our redeemer. So, Father, we look forward to what you're going to do today, in and amongst us today on this line. And we'll always give you glory and praise. So thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer as I lift it up before you now in the mighty name of our Lord, our Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. I'm going home to live with Jesus, since I laid I'm going home to live with Jesus since I laid my burden down. Friends, don't treat me like they used to since I laid my burden down. Friends, don't treat me like they used to since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Every round goes higher and higher since I laid my burden down. Every round goes higher and higher since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Amen, amen, amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Amen, amen. Again, we want to welcome all that are joining with us here at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls, located again here in Macon, Georgia, with your facilitator, Minister Deborah Singleton. I want to share with you all this morning, Lord continue to bless us to be able to do ministry in two sites, face-to-face as well as online. This morning, we do have our ministers on site. They are at daybreak this morning while we are here online. So the Lord continues to bless us. He continues to spread the of the good news of the gospel and having those ambassadors in place who are not ashamed of the good news and the sharing of the good news. So we are praying for Minister Jonathan and Minister Brandy this morning as they ministered there in the downtown Macon area on today. I'm going to ask now if our ambassador sister Wanda, Ambassador Sister Wanda, would come and read our scripture on today, Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and Jonah chapter 4, 1 through 11 this morning. Again, don't forget the words that I asked you to write down. For those that may just be joining with us, I ask that we write down the words mercy this morning, the word grace this morning, the word true repentance this morning, and also write down an additional scripture, Isaiah 58, that speaks to a fast that pleases God, a fast that pleases God. Yes, we do have some additional scriptures this morning, but I want to make sure that we get those words down, mercy, grace, true repentance, and Isaiah 58, a fast that pleases God. So, Ambassador Sister Wanda, if you would come and read our first scripture to us this morning in our hearing, Jonah chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Over to you, Ambassador Sister Wanda. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Jonah chapter 3, and it reads as follows. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowd, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believe God's message, and the greatest to the least, they declare a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robe. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on the heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herd and flock, eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all of their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet, God would change his mind and hold back his fierce anger against from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened.
Amen.
Okay.
Sister Wanda, just one moment, please. As we've looked at Jonah chapter 3, there are some words that I want to make sure that we go back and look at and underline in our Bibles. I want to make sure that we underline a second time. The Lord sending Jonah a second time to Nineveh. I also want us to look at what did the Ninevites do. What did the Ninevites do when they heard the message from Jonah that was given to him by God? The third thing, as we look at chapter number 3, and we're going to go back and dissect it this morning, I want us to look at the absolute fast, Pastor Reggie. Not only God sending Jonah a second time, not only what the Ninevites did, but I want us to look at this absolute fast that we see here in this passage of Scripture. And not only it being an absolute fast, but the results, what resulted from the Ninevites doing what they did. Keep in mind now, I want to give you a little bit of insight. The Ninevites were ruthless. They were wicked. They were evil. But notice what happens when the word of the Lord comes to them. The word of the Lord, not Jonah's word, not the world's word, but when the word of the Lord comes to them, notice their posture, notice their position, notice what they do, and then we'll see what God did. We're going to truly see mercy and grace and true repentance come alive in these lessons. But what will it mean to us about Sister Wanda? What it means is, am I showing mercy? Am I showing grace? Do I truly repent when I have messed up, when I have done wrong, when I have not obeyed the word of God? What do I do? So I want us to capture that as we look at chapter number 3. Let's now go over to chapter number 4, Ambassador Sister Wanda.
Okay. Chapter 4. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfalling love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. The Lord cried, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm next morning to drop the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, it is right for you to be angry because the plant died. Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then when the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Didn't I feel sorry for such a great city? The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ambassador Sister Wanda, for reading those scriptures so well, and especially from the New Living Translation, which broke it down so well for us. From this, before Ambassador Brother Al comes to sing our song of praise, I want you to write down 120,000 people in spiritual darkness. 120,000 people in spiritual darkness. And I want you to think about this concept. Was Jonah more concerned about the plant than he was about the souls of 120,000 people? What was he more concerned about? Was he concerned about his own comfort, his own convenience, versus souls that God sent him to bring deliverance and restoration? We have to ask ourselves the question this morning, am I more concerned about my comfort, my convenience? Am I upset because God forgives and extends mercy and grace to people I don't think that deserve it? Keep in mind these things this morning because it's going to be important. We don't walk away from this lesson this morning with just information and facts, but we walk away with transformation, a change in the way we as ambassadors and followers of Christ are called to walk, called to witness, called to share the message of Jesus Christ to all souls, no matter whether they are gang members, prostitutes, drug addicts, sell drugs in our local government, in our White House. God has called us to a message for all people. So let's get ready, Brother Al, and go ahead and lead us in our song of praise. And we are going to come back this morning as we look at this lesson from the perspective of what is God calling me to do, and what should my attitude be towards all souls? Because in this ministry, all souls matter. Over to you, Brother Al.
Amen. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, this is the day,
This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter the court with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it this morning. We are going
Amen.
To go ahead and roll up our sleeves this morning, thanking all of you for joining us here at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls this morning. Welcome to all of our first-time listeners. I want you to know that we are elated that you are a part of our services on today. So let's get started this morning. When we initially opened up, we provided three words that I want to make sure that we capture in our sharing on today. I'm going to ask, there may be some on the line that have not muted their phone, so if you would just hit that little mute button on your phone, that would help us tremendously on today as we begin sharing. Initially, when we started this morning, I asked us to write down three words: the word mercy, the word grace, and the word true repentance on today. I also asked that we write down a scripture, Isaiah 58, because Isaiah 58 speaks to a fast that God is pleased with. And I want us to understand this morning, God is not pleased with all fasting. Many times people withdraw from food, and they turn down the plate, but their attitudes remain the same. There's no transformation in their attitude. They are still treating people in an unkind way. They are speaking language that they should not speak. But God speaks to us in Isaiah chapter 48 as to a fast that truly pleases him, a fast that we as ambassadors, disciples of Christ, must align to. So this morning, as Ambassador Sister Wanda read our scripture for today, and I did not tag today's message. I did not give it a title this morning because, Pastor Reggie, there are so many titles that can be given to this particular message. So I'm going to let you title it, but I'm praying today as we bring forth not just, again, information and facts, but we will bring forth a word that will cause us to begin to think and ask ourselves the question, are we in alignment? as it pertains to going and sharing the message of Jesus Christ. I got a question this morning before I start, and the question is, how many times has God given you another opportunity? How many times, Brother Al, has God given you another chance? So this morning, as we look at our message from Jonah, I want us to go to a scripture in 2 Peter over in the New Testament this morning before we get started. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. And here's how it reads. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Let me read that again. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. To come to repentance. So before I start diving into Jonah, I want us to look at this word true repentance, true repentance. True repentance moves God to mercy. True repentance is sincere. True repentance is a complete turnaround in our actions and not just in our words. True repentance is a change of direction. Turn from your evil ways and begin to walk in the light, walking towards God. True repentance. It is more than just remorse. It is more than just being sorry, but it is a turn from walking in the opposite direction of God and turning towards walking with him, walking in alignment to his word, his will, and his way. The word of God, his commands, his precepts, and his law. That's true repentance this morning. And we see true repentance in this word as we will look at Jonah chapter 3 and Jonah chapter number 4. Let me give you another scripture besides 2 Peter 3 and 9, that God's desire is for all, A-L-L, to be saved. To achieve salvation rather than face destruction, explaining that the delay in judgment is an act of mercy to allow time, Ambassador Sister Wanda, for repentance. Some people might be saying, why is God allowing this person or that person continue to do what they are doing? God is providing time. He's providing time. He's delaying judgment because he's showing mercy to allow time for repentance, true repentance, a turning away, not just in your words, but in your action. And we're going to see it this morning. The word mercy, ambassadors, this morning, the word mercy, Sister Lane, when we look at it, mercy is God's compassionate, loving withholding of the punishment or the judgment that sinners desire and deserve. It is God's compassionate, loving withholding of the punishment or judgment that sinners deserve. That's mercy. That's mercy. Withholding what I deserve. So what is grace then, Minister Deborah? Grace and mercy, you all, is not the same. Grace is God's unmerited favor, God's unmerited love and benevolence towards the undeserving. It's a free gift from God, received through faith. Grace provides forgiveness for sin, and an acceptance by God, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. So when we look at this lesson this morning, we see both mercy and we see grace. Holding back that which I deserve and giving me what I don't deserve. Notice this morning, we are looking at 120,000 people that were walking in spiritual darkness. How many people today in this world that are walking in spiritual darkness that needs us as ambassadors, as disciples, as born-again believers, filled with the Holy Ghost to be able to go and tell them about the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, that he saves, that he sanctifies, that he purifies, and he lives on the inside via he, Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 8 tells us that we as ambassadors have been empowered as witnesses to be able to do what he's called us to do. Now, when we look at Jonah this morning, keep in mind now, 120,000 people he sent to that are walking in spiritual darkness. And then, Uncle John, we see the mercy and the grace God extends to these people. We see true repentance on their part. We see something about these Ninevites, and I want to tell you all something about them. Notice this. Jonah is commanded to preach repentance to Nineveh. Nineveh was the brutal capital of Assyria. What do we know about the Ninevites? They were brutal. Yes, they were. They were a wicked city. They were known for extreme cruelty. They were known for skinning their enemies. They would tie their enemies and stretch them, and they would skin them alive. These people were evil. They were wicked. They participated in evil types of schemes, evil things towards others. I'm going to ask again. I need everybody to put their phone on mute. I need everybody to mute their phones. We're getting some feedback of this morning. If you just mute your phones, for us this morning. Hit that mute button that's on your phone. We're so glad that you're joining with us this morning. So God sends Jonah to 120,000 people walking in spiritual darkness. He sends Jonah to a people that are brutal, a people that are wicked, people that involve themselves in evil, involve themselves in extreme cruelty, and they did not mind letting you know. So let's give a little bit of background this morning as we look at these scriptures on today. Where we see true repentance, where we see the exercise of mercy, the exercise of grace, the exercise of love. Let's look at Jonah. Jonah, many of us are familiar with Jonah. Since we were small children, if you were around the church at any time or went to vacation Bible school, it seems that they always had a story or had a lesson on Jonah. Jonah being swallowed by the big fish. Jonah sent to Nineveh to preach the word of God, to carry the message of God, not his message, because, see, ambassadors do not carry their own message. They carry the message that the Lord gives to them. So we see something here this morning. As I say, we are familiar with Jonah in bits and pieces. Jonah, again, the one that was swallowed by the big fish, the one that was sent to Nineveh to preach to them the word of God. And we see from the lessons that we've learned over the years how the people of Nineveh turned, how they repented of the evilness that they were doing. So let's get a little bit of background this morning. When we look at our lesson, we ask the question, who wrote this particular passage of Scripture? Traditionally, it is attributed to Jonah the prophet. He was the son of Amittai. We see that in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1. Most scholars agree the book is written in the third person, suggesting it may have been compiled or edited later, but still based on Jonah's prophetic experience that he had with God and the people in Nineveh. So when was it written? We know who wrote it. So when was it written? It was written, the event likely occurred somewhere during the 8th century B.C., during the Assyrian period. The book itself was likely written later, possibly the 7th or the 5th century B.C., as a prophetic narrative. So why was it written? We know who wrote it. We know when it was written. But why was it written? What was the purpose of writing this book of Jonah? It was written, Pastor Reggie, to reveal God's mercy towards all nations and not just Israel. I want us to write that word all on our paper. To challenge religious nationalism and self-righteousness. A third reason it was written was to show that God values repentance over punishment. The fourth reason it was written was to confront human resistance to God's compassion for outsiders. So when I look at the book of Jonah, I see mercy, I see grace, I see repentance, but I also see somebody with an attitude. I see a person with an attitude that he doesn't believe that God should extend mercy and grace to others, and yet he extends it to this same person. God. When I look at Jonah, Jonah, again, was commanded to preach repentance to Nineveh, this brutal capital of Assyria. Yes. God sends Jonah again in this passage, chapter 3. He sends Jonah again to Nineveh. The city repents, and Jonah becomes angry. God teaches him through a plant and a worm, revealing his compassion for all people. Now, when we look at Jonah chapter 1, just a little bit of a background this morning before we go into chapter number 3. Jonah was given the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and it told him in verse number 2 in chapter number 1, it told him to go. Now, we as ambassadors, we have been told to go. And Matthew 28:19-20. Can't you see the connection this morning? Jonah the prophet being told to go, and we have been told as ambassadors to go over in Matthew 28:19-20. We have been told to go not just in our home, not just in our hometown, but throughout the whole world. So notice what Jonah, the message that God gives to Jonah. He says, go, Jonah, to the great city of Nineveh. And notice what I want you to do. I want you to preach against it. Because, notice this, because its wickedness has come up before me. Notice this. God extends his mercy. God extends his grace. Rather than extending judgment, God extends you all grace and mercy. He wants to warn them. He sends Jonah. He said, Jonah, look, I want you to go to this place, and this is what I want you to do when you get there, and here's the reason why I want you to go. Because of their wickedness, because of their evilness. Notice what Jonah does in verse number 3, Uncle John. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now, I don't know why Jonah thought he could get away from God, who is omnipresent everywhere at the same time, but notice that Jonah was afraid of the Ninevites. He knew their background. He knew their history. He knew what they would do to people. He knew that they would skin people alive. He knew their wickedness. So Jonah runs. He says, look now, I'm going to run away from God. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to Tarshish. And when he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship, he boarded that ship, you all. He paid the fare. He got on board, and he thought he was fleeing God. He thought he was getting away from someone who is omnipresent, who is omnipotent, and who is omniscient. And notice this, when Jonah got on the boat and they got out to the sea, what happened when they got out there? There started a reeling and a rocking when they got out there. They saw calamity came upon them when they got out there. And they realized, they said, wait a minute, something is going on. So when all of this began to happen, it says right there in verse 4, then the Lord is the one that sent that great wind on the sea. And such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to do what? To break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to what? To their own God, the small G-O-D. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah, notice this, had gone down the deck where he laid down and he fell into a deep sleep. And the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. But notice, you all, that Jonah knew that he was a part of this situation of what was happening. So they throw Jonah overboard. And what does God do? God has already had a big fish, stationed to do what? To swallow Jonah. Look at verse 17 in chapter number 1. It said, but the Lord provided a great fish. Now, people, you read books, it got whale, it said it was a whale, but my Bible said that it was a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish. How many days, you all? He was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. We know something about that 3, don't we? So we know something about 3 over in the New Testament. But notice, while Jonah is in the belly of this big fish, notice what he does. He prays. He prays. How many of us have ever been in the belly of a great fish, the belly of trials, the belly of tribulation, the belly of challenges, the belly of mess up in our lives? Notice this, what Jonah does when he's in the belly of this great fish. What do you do when you are in the belly of trials and tribulations and challenges, Sister Gloria? Well, who do you cry out to? Notice Jonah cries out to the Lord. He said, right there, verse 2, in chapter 2, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he what? He answered me from the depths of the grave. I called for help. And notice this, brothers and sisters, he listened to my cry. Here he is, knowing he's trying to evade God, knowing that he's trying to get away from God, get away from his assignment. God is not going to send us to all places of comfort and convenience, and everybody going to greet you and say, hey, brother and sister, come on in. I want to hear what you got to say about the Lord. God is going to send you into some places that folks are not going to want to hear the word of God. Folks are not going to want to walk in obedience. Folks are going to do what they want to do, what they want to do, and say what they want to say. See, we got to understand something, you all. We walk amongst people. They laugh and they talk about what they are doing for the Lord because they gave somebody. They went to the Salvation Army. They gave something at the Goodwill. But God is calling us to go into the uncomfortable places, to go into the places where nobody else is going to go. He wants us to go into those places. And he has provided us the whole armor of God, prepared us, given us spiritual discernment to go into those places. We walk around like we are scared. We walk around like we are cowering down. God has called us. He has equipped us, and he does not call us to a ministry and to a place of ministry that he has not equipped us to do the work that he has called us to do. Come on. Come on, this one. Notice Jonah's prayer. knowing as he's in this big fish of a situation. What do you do in your big fish of a situation? Your big fish of illness, your big fish of sickness, your big fish of challenges, your big fish. What do you do? What does Jonah show me? Even in the midst of walking in disobedience, he calls out to the Lord, and the Lord hears and answers his prayer. Notice what happened. And the Lord, verse number 10 in chapter number 2, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Oh, the Lord is orchestrating this, you all. Can't you see it? I see it in verse number 1 of chapter 1. The word of the Lord coming to Jonah. What the Lord told and commissioned him to do. And how he ran away. And yet it still says in verse 4, the Lord was in the midst of all of this. Now look at chapter number 3 where we are this morning. Notice now, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah what? A second time. A second time. Notice what God does for Jonah. God extends mercy and he extends grace. He extends his compassionate love, his compassionate favor towards Jonah. But notice this. When the second time the word of the Lord comes to him, and I want you all to follow me in your Bible. Notice verse number 2. Notice verse number 2. He says, go. Isn't that what the Lord again tells us to do? To go. Go to the great cities around you. Go to the great communities that are around you. And notice what the Lord tells him to do. Notice Jonah did not have to make up a message himself. God had already given him what he needed to say. God does the same thing for us. We panic, our palms sweat. We get in a panic and trying to fix. No, God has already given you the message that you are to deliver. You got to deliver it the way God has given it to you. Notice this. He says, go to that great city. God never changed the place where he was sitting, Jonah. We want God to change the place. We want God to change the time. We want God to change the people so that it'll be just comfortable and convenient for us. But God is sending us in some radical places to people that don't want to hear truth, but God is still telling them, I'm going to send you to give them truth. I'm going to send you so that you can prepare them so that they can be given the opportunity for true repentance before judgment comes. Because judgment is coming, you all. Judgment is coming. Notice verse number 2 again. Go. I want you to go again to that great city of Nineveh, over 120,000 people walking in spiritual darkness, and I want you to proclaim to it the message that I give you. Notice verse 3. Jonah did what? Notice, underline in your Bible, Jonah does what? He obeys. He obeys. Initially, Jonah said, I'm not going there. I'm not going down there with those evil, wicked people. They're going to skin me alive. And no telling, they may boil me in water. They may hang me up. No, I'm not going. But notice this. He's there. God gets him where he in a position. He now obeys. Look at this. The word of the Lord. And he went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required. Notice this. See that word? See that number again? 3? He was 3 days. And 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the big fish. Notice now, it takes him 3 days. It's required 3 days because the city was so great. But notice this. I don't want to reread the scripture because our sister did such a great job. But I want to point some verses out to you. Verse 4. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. And notice what his proclamation was that God gave him. 40 more days now, and Nineveh will be overturned. It will be destroyed. And notice verse number 5, you all. The Ninevites did what? They believed. These evil, wicked people who were skinning people alive, They believed. Look at the first thing they did. They first had to hear the message. Notice this. They hear the message, and they believed God. That's number two. Look at the third thing that they do. Sister Lane, the third thing is they declare a fast. They hear the message. They believed God. They declare a fast. And notice this, all of them, from the greatest to the least, that means from the king all the way down to the animals. Uh-oh. They are serious, aren't they? They've heard the word. They believed what was said. They declare a fast. And notice this. The fourth thing is they put on sackcloth. Now sackcloth, you all, sackcloth meaning total submission. Sackcloth was an outward symbol used to express an inward state of mourning, humility, or extreme remorse. And we see this from the king to the commoners. He takes off his robe of royalty, and he himself put on sackcloth. Sackcloth, you all, was something that would cause you to itch. It was very uncomfortable. And what it did was it had them to align their minds and their hearts to the Lord. Sackcloth, bringing about total submission, an outward symbol used to express an inward state of mourning, of humility, or extreme remorse. Even the animals, not just from the king to the commoners, but even the animals, all of them needed God's mercy. My. All of them needed God's mercy. Notice this. Is it possible that we in our communities need to do a fast, a fast that God is pleased with, a fast that says, first, I'm going to hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to declare a fast aligned to Isaiah 58. That is pleasing to God. Everybody in my household, we're going to be on the same page. See, too many times we have fast in our household. One person is fasting and the other person is not. Is it possible that we need to come together on one accord and work towards, guess what, a breakage, a deliverance, a restoration? Notice this, and put on sackcloth. That means, guess what? We got to turn off some social media. We got to turn off some TV. We got to stop viewing some of these programs that we enjoy so much, doing something that we enjoy so much. We got to put on some sackcloth, too. Notice this, Sister Rhonda. Sister Wanda, it says, When the news got to the king, he himself, notice what he did. He rose from his throne. He took off his robe, and he covered himself with sack. That means, notice it, and then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, and notice what it said. Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. This is an absolute fast. This means that they were about serious business. They were intentional. This is about serious business. It was an absolute. They didn't drink nothing, and they didn't eat nothing. And notice this. This is a decree that comes from the king, the person sitting on the throne. He didn't simply say, y'all go and do the fast. Y'all go and do this. He said, no, we are all going to do this. We're going to show God that we are in total submission. We're going to show God that we repent of the evilness and the wickedness that we have done. We're going to show God that we have heard his message. And we're going to turn. We are going to truly repent. Notice this. He said, but let no man, he said, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. All of us are going to show an outward symbol which expresses an inward state of mourning, humility, or extreme remorse. And notice what he said, what the King said. Let everyone, wait a minute, y'all, this ain't no separate. Too many times we want the Lord to move in our homes. We want Lord to move in our marriages, move on our jobs, move in our illnesses, sicknesses. But what are we willing to do? We want God to show up and do it for us, but what are we willing to do for God? Are we willing to turn that plate down? Are we willing to say, you know what, I'm not going to eat no meat for the next 21 days. I'm not going to eat no sweets for the next 21 days. I'm just going to seek the face of God. I'm going to read my scriptures. I'm going to go in prayer. How many of us are willing to do for God, but we want God to show up for us? I'm talking first to myself this morning. Notice this, what the King said. Let everyone call urgently. That this ain't no just happens. You got a situation in your life. Your child is in trouble. Your grandchild is in trouble, and you're going to be casual about this? You're going to be just, well, I'll just read the Bible when, you know, I just can't be reading the Bible all day. Let me tell you, let your child get in trouble. Let your grandchild get in trouble. Your niece get in trouble. Your nephew get in trouble. And you say you really love them, you ain't got no problem finding you a closet, finding you a space to get in and talk to the Lord and walk in obedience. Notice this. They are serious. Now, if the Ninevites can be serious, who was wicked and evil and was skinning people alive, what about us? Notice this, Uncle John. He said, let everyone call urgently, oh God. You got to get in a hurry. Let something happen in your body. Let something go on, and you call out to the Lord. You are talking to the Lord. You're reading your scriptures. Let me keep going. Notice it. Let them give up. Notice this. Let them give up their evil ways. And notice this. They knew the kind of people they were. See, too many of us want to go to God and say, Lord, if you find anything, take it out, take it. You know what's there. You know you got unforgiveness. You know you got bitterness. You know you got evil. You know you got a foul mouth. And notice what they said. Notice what they said. Let them give up. They recognize. They already know the kind of people they are. He said, let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? Look at verse 9. God may yet relent. And with notice this word, compassion. Write that word down. Compassion. Compassion on me, knowing I'm walking in the wrong direction, knowing I've done wrong, knowing that I have misstepped. Maybe God will have compassion and turn from his fierce anger so that we will what? We will not perish. Notice the steps that they take. What if the folks, I'm not talking about all the folks in the U.S., because all folks in the U.S. is not saved and not aligned to the word of God. But what if your church, what if your assembly, what if your household were follow these steps like the Ninevites do? What might happen in your house? What may happen in your community? What might happen in your state government? If all of us could come, the song said, when all God's children get together, how come we can't get together down here? Why can't we get together in our homes? Why can't we get together in our churches? You got one church doing a program over here and the one just 2 miles down the road doing a program on the same Sunday. How come we can't get together to feed the hungry? How come we can't get together to clothe the naked? How come we can't get together to visit those that are coming at home? Everybody got to do their own thing. Oh, God is watching us. How come we, I'm not talking about the unsaved, I'm not talking about the unbeliever, but why can't we come together as those who say we are ambassadors? I'm treading hard this morning. Notice this. When God saw what they did, notice verse 10, and saw what they did, actions that they took, not just talking about it, but the actions that they took, and how they turn. That sounds like true repentance to me, Minister Braxton. That sounds like true repentance, Ambassador Al. Notice what it said. When they turn, when God saw how they turned from their evil ways, he had what on them? He had compassion, and he did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Notice that. Is it possible? See, I'm taking a lot from this. I'm going to teach this lesson, and I'm going to teach it in parts, Ambassador Sister Warren. I'm going to go back and teach this lesson and break it up in parts for us to understand how we hear the word, how we believe what God says, how they declared a fast. Because they look, listen to me. Not only did they pray, but they fast. Some things only come through prayer and what? Fasting. They fast. All of them is a community of 120,000 people, including the animals, including the king, including the commoners, and they show an outward of something happening on the inside. Hallelujah this morning. Let's keep going. So Sister Juan, as we looked at this passage, the first part of Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, we see mercy extended. We see grace extended by God. We see true repentance on behalf of the Ninevites, how they show a complete turnaround in action and not just in words. Then how we see God's mercy again being revealed towards all nations and not just Israel. Keep in mind, you all, the Ninevites were also evil and were doing wicked things to Israel, God's people. And yet and still God extends mercy to all nations, including those that was attacking his own. Here it is. God does not, I want us to walk away with some observations this morning. God does not discard Jonah after failure. He restores his mission. And I'm so glad God doesn't do the same thing. He doesn't discard us when we go in an opposite direction he's told us to go in. When he's told us to say something, but we allow fear and being afraid and whether or not that person is going to be your friend. And whether, see, too many times we want to keep peace and not do what God has called us to do. Notice this. God does not discard Jonah after failure. He restores his mission. What does it say? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Here's another message from this morning, the first part of this. Jonah's preaching is brief, but Nineveh responds deeply. What was Jonah's message, you all? He went through Nineveh, and it wasn't a long message, was it? He says, look at that message in verse number 4, 40 more days, and Nineveh would be overturned. That's all he preached. That was his sermon title. And that's all he preached throughout Nineveh. It was a large community, 120,000 people, meaning there were villages and there were neighborhoods and all of that. But he had a mission and he had a purpose, and he obeyed God. Let's keep going. Repentance, you all, even though his preaching was brief, Nineveh responded deeply, and we see what they did. Repentance is immediate and corporate. For we see it was from the king to the commoner. I want to see something else. Jonah obeys outwardly, but he resists inwardly. We're going to see that in chapter number 4. See, Jonah knew God. He knew God. He knew the compassion that God has for others. He knew God's grace. He had experienced God's grace and mercy. But he didn't want God to extend it to the Ninevites. He didn't want it. He didn't want it because they were evil, because they were wicked. He did not want them to have what God had extended to him. Let's keep going. Jonah obeys outwardly, but resists inwardly. He knows God's character, but dislikes its implications for his enemies. Jonah didn't want God to extend it to him. But notice this about God. God does not rebuke harshly. He asks the question, is it right for you to be angry? And God teaches Jonah through reflection and not through force. Let's go to chapter number 4, Uncle John. We have squeezed a lot out of chapter number 3, understanding what it meant for Jonah to go a second time and how God had already sent him the first time and what he did and how God forgave him, how God used him and restored him. And now when we look at chapter number 4, Jonah is angry. He's angry because the Lord extended compassion to the Ninevites. Notice verse number 4, Sister Wanda. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Now, he's upset because God saves. God extends compassion and did bring destruction towards these 120,000 people. Because they did an absolute fast, because they did what pleased God, he is upset, y'all. He is mad. I can see steam coming out of his ears. I can see his face turning red, and I can see him, y'all, pouting like a child. I can see him stomping around saying, how in the world, Lord, could you save them? How could you keep that destruction from them? You know what they have done to the children of Israel. You know what they have done to some of my people. And yet and still, you extended compassion. But Jonah realized, he said, I know the character of God. I know the kind of man he is. Because notice this. Look at verse 2. He prayed to the Lord. Oh, Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? He knew God's character. He knew that's why he fled to Tasha, y'all. He knew that. Notice what verse number 2 said. This is what he said, Sister Wanda. He said, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. I know that you are slow to anger, and you are about, notice this, you are abounding in love. That word abounding means an overflow, never failing, everlasting. He said, I know your character. I know that you are compassionate. I know that you're gracious. I know that you're slow to anger. I know that you're abounding in love. I know that you are God who relents from sin and calamity. He was upset, y'all. He said, I know your character. I knew it. That's why I didn't want to go to this place. That's why I went to Tasha, because I knew the possibilities of what you would do. Oh, listen to this. Look at verse 3. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Listen to Jonah, y'all. Listen to him. He talks about dying. He had delivered a message to the people of Nineveh. They turn, they repent to repentance. And God says right there in verse number, when we look at verse number 10, look at that. He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Notice this. And notice Jonah. He's mad. He's mad. It says Jonah went out and he sat down at a place east of the city, and there he made himself a shelter. He sat in his shade, and he waited to see what would happen to the city. Notice this. What would happen to it? He knows the character of God. He saw what the people did. He saw God show compassion towards them. And here's something else he forgets. He forgets that God is the one that provided a vine that gave him shade to ease his discomfort. He was happy with the vine, but unhappy with what God did for 120,000 people. Is it possible that we as ambassadors, we as believers, we as disciples, got some folks here that may be in our assemblies, in our churches, that get mad with God because God forgives the prostitute. God forgives the drug addict. God forgives forgive the one that's selling drugs. God forgives the murderer. And we get mad because we want God to feel like we feel about the person. We say that person don't deserve it. That person that did this thing and that thing. They don't deserve God's mercy. They don't deserve God's grace. They don't deserve God's abounding love. Is it possible that we get an attitude when we look at folks and talk about what they don't deserve? My. We care more about our comfort. We care more about what we have than want to offer to somebody who don't have. Let me tell you something. Anybody who do not have Jesus, they ain't nothing but empty. They are walking dead. If you want to see the walking dead, look at somebody that's not saved. Look at somebody that's not saved, a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old walking around here. The plan of salvation has been shared with them, been offered to them. They are the walking dead. And that's why it's incumbent upon us as ambassadors, as disciples, to share the message of Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 through 13. And then when they receive Christ, it is incumbent upon us. Stop putting these people in the choir, putting them on the usher board, putting them, having them to be junior deacons and junior deaconess, and they don't know nothing about the Word of God. They need to be put in boot camp training. But the first thing we do is let them join the choir. Let them put them on the usher board. They need to be in boot camp training, understanding what it means to be a follower of Christ in their speech, in their conduct, in their living, when they go to school, when they go out amongst their friends. But what we do is we assign them to a place. But what we got to do is assign them to a boot camp class. And that class is teaching you how to be a follower of Christ now that you have given your life to Christ. The church that I came up in after I left home, that's what that pastor did. He did not assign you to no ministry. You had to go through 12 to 13 weeks of boot camp. And about Sister Wanda know what I'm talking about. You had to go through boot camp, spiritual boot camp, to understand what is your new identity and how you are to walk as a disciple, as a follower of Christ. Let me go on this morning. Jonah was mad with God. He felt that these people didn't deserve it, but yet and still he felt he deserved it. God extended mercy and grace to him when he disobeyed him and went in an opposite direction. God had everything in place, had the big fish, had the land. The big fish didn't chew him up. He spitted him out whole. He swallowed him whole, and he spitted him out whole. Notice this. God has a vine. He caused it to grow to give Jonah some comfort because of the sun and all of these things. And Jonah was, look at that verse, number 6. He was happy. Happy about the vine, but unhappy about 120,000 people repenting. Let me keep going. But at dawn, notice what God did. I see the hands of God all through this. Don't y'all see it? Don't you see the hand of God, how he's facilitating all of this, how he's showing us this morning? Sometime when he's giving us an assignment, we decide to go in another direction. Some of us on this line, God has called to preach. God has called you to be a missionary. God has called you to teach, and you have allowed fear. You have allowed what you feel like you can't do. No, you can't do it. I can't do it. Do you think that every time I stand before people, I have nervousness? I'm like, Lord, I want to do what you called me to do. I want to do it in the right. I want to bring your message with conciseness and accuracy, but bring it with a compassion and a conviction that people want to change. I have it every single time. But notice this. Notice Jonah. He's happy about a vine. But look what God does. The next day, that's what God does. He provides a worm. Notice he provides a big fish. Y'all saw that, right? Provided Psalm 91 protection for Jonah as he went through Nineveh preaching the word. Nobody took him and tried to hurt him or try to kill him or try to skin him alive. I see Psalm 91. Protection. I see provision. I see refuge. Then I see shelter here. But notice what God does. God's showing him something. He's showing me something too. He sends a worm which chews the vine so that it withers. And look at verse 8. When the sun rose, God knows what else God does. He provided a scorching east wind, Uncle John, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint and he wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Listen to this man. Listen to what he's saying. 120,000 people have repented. God has held back destruction, and he's talking about dying. Look at this. Notice verse number 9. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? You upset about a vine? I do, he said to Jonah. I do. I'm angry enough to die. Listen, you all. Listen to the place Jonah found himself in. Angry with God. Because God extends mercy and grace. Notice what I told you all, the scripture there in 2 Peter 3 and 9, that God's desire is for all to be saved, for all to achieve salvation rather than face destruction, which shares with us the delay in judgment. It is an act of mercy to allow time for repentance. Notice this. God does not desire for anyone to be lost. So here, Joe, listen to him. I do have a right to be angry. As a matter of fact, I'm so angry, I just rather go and die. But the Lord said, verse number 10, you have been concerned about this vine. How many of us are concerned about our comfort? Our foe and no more. God says, you've been so concerned about this vine. Though you did not tend it, you didn't make it grow, it sprang up overnight, it died overnight. But look at verse 11. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? And listen, I love the way God leaves the book of Jonah. He leaves it for us this morning. Are we concerned about the great cities that surround us? Are we concerned about the families that surrounds us? God uses a plant, a worm, and wind to expose Jonah's priorities. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The priority, it exposes Jonah's priority. Jonah valued comfort, shade, more than human lives. God's final argument, 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also so many animals. God's compassion extends even to those considered ignorant, those considered sinful, and those that are considered foreign. If God did not care about it, if God only cared about Israel, why did he give us Matthew 28:19-20? If his only concern was about his people, why are we told to go there and to go in Matthew 28? Why are we called to teach? Why are we called to baptize if those are the only people he was concerned about? God is teaching us something this morning. He said our compassion, just as his, must extend even to those that are ignorant, those that just don't. The ignorance suggests you don't know. Sinful and those that are foreign. I can apply this lesson, Brother Al, from this way. Ambassador, Sister Jackie, God can restore failed people. Even when we run, delay, or resist, God can recommission us. Don't let past disobedience define your willingness to obey today. Number two, another application. Obedience is powerful even when it's imperfect. God works through reluctant obedience. You don't have to feel ready. You just got to be willing, and you got to go. You don't have to feel ready, but you got to just be willing, and you got to go. Here's the third application. We got to examine who we struggle to extend grace to. Jonah accepted grace for himself, but he resisted it for others. How is it that we want God to forgive us, but we won't forgive others? I'm going to say that again. We want God to forgive us, but we won't forgive others. Let me give you another application this morning. Comfort can distort compassion. Jonah cared more about shade than he did about souls. We got to be careful, you all, when personal comfort outweighs a concern for people. And I'll tell anybody on the line, there's a many days, you all, I've gone tired. I've been inconvenienced. I have something else that's on my agenda that I plan to do, but I get a call that I need to go to the hospital. I get a call that I need to go down to the ministry because somebody's bringing some food or somebody's bringing some clothes or somebody wants to come down and share. Yes, I want to enjoy comfort, but I got to understand this morning, God has called me. He's called you to understand that don't let your comfort outweigh a concern for people. Here's another one, an application. God teaches through questions and not just answers. Some people talk to me about, why you ask so many questions, Deborah? Well, I believe questions is a way to teach people. I believe it's a way to cause people to think, don't you all? It causes people to think when you ask them a question about what do you believe in? Who are you aligned to? What do you do when you get in the belly of a big fish? What do you do when you meet somebody that you don't think that deserves grace and mercy? I believe, just like God does, he teaches through questions and not just answers. Growth often comes, Minister Braxton, through reflection and not instant resolution. Sometimes we want people to just give me the answer. Just give me the answer. No, God wants you to use your faculties and know that He, Holy Spirit, lives in you. So we got to pay attention to God's probing questions that He provides to us. Let me give you another application. God's mercy, ambassadors, is wider than our categories. We have categories. Y'all didn't know that, did you? We have categories. We have categories of people, and we sometimes get tired of folks. I'm just tired of forgiving them. I'm just tired of them keep on doing what they're doing. Notice it. God's mercy is wider than our category. God's compassion is not limited by nationality. He wants the Iranians. He wants the Pakistanians. He wants the president. He wants those in his cabinet. He wants them to be saved as well. He wants them to receive his mercy, his grace, and salvation. God's compassion is not limited by nationality. It's not limited by morality. And it's not limited by human judgment. We must expand our view of who God can redeem. If he can redeem, how he used Rahab, how he used the woman at the well, how he used the woman who was caught in adultery, how he used Zacchaeus, how he used Abraham, how he used Paul, how he used Peter, how he used the other disciples. We got to expand our view of who God can redeem. So what are my prayer prompters this morning, ambassadors? This is my first prayer prompter. It's for obedience. Lord, help me obey you fully, even when I don't understand your direction or timing. I'm praying for obedience. My second prayer prompter is this, for a soft heart. God, remove any bitterness or resistance in me towards people you want me to reach. See, I can't have that bitterness when God sends me down on Skid Row to talk to people who don't dress the way I dress or look the way I look or smell the way I smell. Lord, remove any bitterness or resistance in me towards people you want me to reach. The third prayer prompter is this, ambassadors, is for compassion. Not only for obedience, not only for a soft heart, Uncle John, but for compassion. Father, align my heart with yours so I care about people the way you do. Father, align my heart with yours so I care about people the way you do. I'm going to tell y'all, it's some hard folks out here. It's some hard folks to even talk to get along with, to try to even share with. But what I got to do is I got to pray for compassion. Father, align my heart with yours, so that I care about people the way you do. I'm through with them. I'm saying I'm through with them. No, my heart's got to be aligned with his heart. The next prayer prompter is for humility. Lord, show me where I value comfort more than your mission. I want God to show me, Lord, where I want to be comfortable, where I just want to go to church and sing in the choir and come home and relax and just do what I want to do. No, I want to be made uncomfortable. I want to wear some sackcloth. I want to be shook up by God. I want him to open my eyes to places that I haven't seen that he's calling me to. Places that might be right in my face, and I have ignored it. Lord, show me where I value comfort more than your mission. And the last prayer prompter is this, is for transformation. God, use even my questions and my struggles to shape my character. We can get information. We can say, oh, that was a good story today. That was a good message today, minister. But what did it do to transform you? What did it do to shake up your thinking this morning? Is there a place you have been avoiding, a person you've been avoiding that God has been telling you to go to minister to? Is God transforming your heart and your mind to understand that every soul matters? Is God shaking you up this morning that you need to walk in obedience, that you must have a soft heart and ask him to remove any bitterness, any evil, any envy, any jealousy? I was reading the other day, I was reading this morning, as a matter of fact, a woman that killed her sister over jealousy, over a Rolex watch. But it was more than a Rolex watch, you all. She had jealousy in her heart towards her sister for a long time. And it wasn't over a while. If I had to rewrite the story, I would interview the lady and ask her, when did this all start? Did it start when you all were children and you were jealous of your sister because of the teachers in the school or your parents in the home or other people? It started a long time ago. It didn't start when her sister bought a Rolex watch and she looked at it and said she wanted it. We got to do some hard praying for ourselves. Lord, remove any bitterness or resistance in me towards people that you have called me to reach. Don't let me be caught up in racism and division. Don't let me be caught up in gender. Don't let me be caught up in what they are wearing and what colors they align to. God's got a word for them as well. I don't care what they said they are, what their alphabets are. What does God say? It ain't always the comfortable places. God is sending us as a, why do you think he's building our spiritual muscles? You think he's building our spiritual muscles just sit around the house and talk to people on the phone that's like us? We got to understand that God's mercy is wider than our categories. God's compassion is not limited by nationality, morality, or human judgment. We got to expand our view of who God can redeem. And if he can save Paul, if he can save Peter and restore him and give him another opportunity, if he can save Deborah Singleton, restore and clean up, even in the midst of her missteps, if he can use David, said David is a man after my own heart, even after he had committed sin, even after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, had a man killed, and God still saying that because of Psalm 51, his confessing, his repentance, his true repentance. You all, we got some work to do. This message wasn't to be comfortable this morning, but it was for us to put on some sackcloth and sit in some ashes this morning to talk about what true repentance is, to talk about what true mercy and grace is, and for us to extend it because God has given it to us. And to align to 2 Peter 3:9, that God desires for all to be saved and none to face destruction and judgment, none to sit in hell for the rest of their lives. He's calling for total submission. He's calling for repentance. And he's calling us to go into some places that is not comfortable. So are we going to do what God called us to do? Or are we just going to keep going to church, listen to the choir and the pastor preach, and walk out unchanged, walk out the same way we came in? That's the message this morning. Are we going to extend grace and mercy to that lady at the Dollar Tree who may mess up giving us the right change? Are we going to tell her about Jesus? Or are we going to be too ashamed because, you know what, I got my church clothes on and I don't want to, I got my church clothes on. I can't go down there by the bridge today. I don't want to get dirty. I don't want to hug them because their stench might get on my clothes. That they've been drinking all night. They've been smoking that crack all night. I don't want it to get in my clothes. This is a message this morning. Not stepping back to the 7th and 5th century B.C., but stepping into 2026 and beyond. What are you going to do today? Good morning. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you for listening. And I pray that this message was a transformative message, a message to call us, to shake us, to wake us up, and to do what God has called us to do. Are you going to support missionaries who are going into places such as Hades? My cousin is getting ready to go over to Hades in a place where poverty, a place where witchcraft and all these kinds of things go on. Are you willing to support someone that's going on the missionary field? You got a missionary field too. Are you willing to intercede for them? Are you willing to pray for them? Praying Psalm 91 already for my cousin and for all those that are going on this missionary trip. Praying for other missionaries been on the field for years. And this morning, they can't do what we're doing. They can't get on a line and they can't pull out their Bible because guess what? They will be killed. Limbs will be cut from their bodies. My Lord. The freedom that we have, what are you going to do today? Good morning. Good morning, family. Good morning. Amen.
Good morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to ask this morning as we move forward, In this ministry, I find it helpful, and it certainly has helped me, is to share our messages, but also to ask those on the line, how does this message resonate with you? Because the only way you can get it to be transformative, you got to hear it, you got to believe it, and you got to walk in it. Hear, believe, and walk in it. So how does it resonate with you? How where does it take you? And what will you do to put it into practice? A little bit different from other churches where you go and the pastor is preached and you don't get a chance to ask questions. You don't get a chance to comment. But in this ministry, as I say, a little bit different when I deliver the message. I want to hear what you have to say. And how it impacts you, and what are you going to do different in your life? Come on and join with us this morning. Amen. Come off of mute and share how this message resonates with you. What are you going to do?
Good morning.
Good morning, Ambassador Mother Cora. Good morning. Come on in the house. I've been missing you on Sunday morning. Come on.
Praise God for the word this morning. But the first thing I see is we have too many of the first Jonah. We receive, and then we quickly forget. Because we don't want no one else to have it. But when I look at myself, I have to realize that I was in the same place that Nineveh was until someone brought the word to me. So we have to realize when we receive, don't forget. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. Amen. Awesome, Mother Cora. You brought something else to mind is that sometimes we say, I ain't doing that, Lord. I ain't doing that. You pick somebody else to do that, Lord. I stutter. I don't read well. I don't see well. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too busy. Jonah said, I ain't doing that no. You find somebody else to go down there. And Mother Cora, something else you brought to mind. Where is our Nineveh? Where is the place God's sending us? And are we going to be like Jonah the first time? And are we going to have an attitude like Jonah the second time? Amen. Thank you, Mother Cora. I added that to my notes because you brought that to mind. Being a junk, I ain't doing that, Lord. Mm-mm. You find somebody else, somebody who's much better, know how to use the Bible better than me, know the Bible better than me. You're sending me to the wrong place, Lord. Send me to the hospital. I can do that better because those people laying in the bed ain't too much they going to do to me. Don't send me to no doctor. Don't send me to the nurses. Don't send me to the policeman. Amen. Others this morning, someone else. That's good.
I wanted to say this. How many times have God given us a second chance, another opportunity? Sometimes we as people, we tend to forget. We extend to a certain point, but God has gone over that point, past that point for us many times in our lives. And that's something we have to continue to show towards us, that compassion, that grace and that mercy that God has given us. He didn't say 20 times, I'm going to forgive you. He didn't say 3. He said, you know, whatever is necessary. He's always there for us. And another thing that you had brought out in the lesson, it was like a lot of times we don't feel ready, but we got to go. We have to go through that every day in life. Things happen. We're not ready to do these things, but when challenges, and like you say, when we're forced to do something, like praying for our children, praying for our grandchildren, we think about it very little, but we do know out of obedience to God, we can go to God in prayer. You know, he didn't say when you get ready. If the time is now. It's now. It's a right now time. And that obedience comes into play. We don't fully understand it, but we want to obey God. I trust God. No matter what it looks like, God, I trust you. I need your help, and I need you now. And these are a lot of prayer points, a lot of things that we need to make a part of our everyday life. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, we got to make this, you know, we got to go to God, no matter what it feels like. Amen.
My. Awesome. Amen. Thank you, Ambassador. Amen. Well said. You put a bow on the lesson today. Amen. Others this morning. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? I know we got some more listeners out there this morning. I know we got some more listeners. Anyone else? If you just say good morning to me. Good morning. Anyone else out there?
Good morning.
Good morning, Ambassador Sister Erica. I knew you were out there. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm at work. I'm hearing parts of it, but I'm listening. Because I'm praying on that too. I'm glad you said Isaiah 58 because I'm about to start a fast this week. So,
Amen. Amen.
And I want to go.
Ambassador Sister Erica, I know you're at work. Do you have the fasting manual that we prepare? Do you have that?
Yes, I do.
Very good. Use that. Follow that manual, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Follow that manual. Read Isaiah 58. Go back and read through those scriptures, and each day read those devotionals, and it will strengthen you in your doing, in your actions and in your doing. So awesome. Anoint yourself. You have the oil. I want you to anoint yourself. You and I are going to talk a little bit more about your fast as you get ready to start. But we're going to talk about anointing your mouth, your ears, and your eyes, and your head, and your feet, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So we're going to talk a little bit more offline, but very good. Make sure, like I say, Isaiah 58 and that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. You are the potter,
yes,
and I am the clay. Hey, look, I know you're at work, darling. Thank you for getting online and telling me good morning. Give me a call back later today, and we're going to talk some more as you enter into your fast, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Thank you. Amen. Someone else this morning that's joined with us. This may be your first time, and if you just say good morning, we will be appreciative. Good morning. Amen. Amen. Don't want to rush anybody. Anybody want seconds? You can come back for seconds today. Amen. This was an awesome lesson today. I am going to go back and break it down into several weeks of study for a group to look at it again. This whole book is just four chapters, but it's filled with power. And it's a mirror for us to look in as to what is God saying to us and how we are to be evangelists. This is evangelism all through this book on how we are to go. And then noticing how the Ninevites, no matter how evil and wicked they were, looking at God, how God had compassion and he didn't bring upon them at this time the destruction he had threatened them. By looking at their, it wasn't just talking it, but actual change of heart. And repentance is to turn away from a life that's ruled by ourselves to a life that is ruled by God. My. Okay. If no one else has any additional sharing, I'm going to ask Uncle John to come and to share some comments for us this morning. Again, we are praying for our downtown ministry on today. They are at daybreak, and God is just opening doors, you all, and God has given us some more trained ambassadors to be able to step in when we have to go in other places to share the message of God. So, Uncle John, come on in and share with us what God has given to you today as we have looked at these two passages of Scripture from the book of Jonah. Uncle John.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Mother Cora. We've been missing you. Been missing.
Praise God. Thank you for being missed.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Deborah. You really brought Jonah out this morning. We need to put sackcloth and ashes on your TV, huh? Oh, me. We're going to look at verse 4 and 5 from the third chapter of Jonah. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. I serve you today. Are you ready to repent? Jonah had been given full instruction on what God wanted him to do. That was to go to Nineveh and preach. But that wasn't all of Jonah's problem. He didn't want to preach to the people of Nineveh at all. Have you ever seen some folk like that? Got same people they want to preach to. Jonah felt that the Ninevean people was unworthy of God's grace. Wouldn't that be like some folks today? If you don't fit their profile, they feel you are unworthy. But God's grace is for everybody. Just because you got saved, God didn't close the door of salvation on everybody else. What the old saints would say, there's plenty of good room at the cross. God will be good to you, including everybody else. He also can be good to everybody else without you. God is good with or without you. But are you getting ready to repent? Jonah 1, God told Jonah to arise and go to Nineveh and cry against that great city, for their wickedness have come up before me. They said Nineveh was about 1,800 acres in diameter. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. He went down into it to go with them from the presence of the Lord. Jonah went in a different direction what God told him to do. But Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Israel had had a lot of problem with the peoples of Nineveh. Even in the days of King Hezekiah. You can see this in 2 Kings Chapter 19 and 36, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. But Jonah had the task of going and tell the enemy what God had said. But what have we learned from this book or this lesson about Jonah? We learned that we first must love God with all our hearts and all our soul, and then we can love our enemy. But let's look at Jonah just a little bit more. When he turned from the word of God, he began to go down. He went down to Joppa, fleeing from God. He left. When he got to Joppa, he found a ship going to Tarshish. Paid the fare thereof, and went down in the ship. The sea got rugged, so they threw Jonah overboard. And the Lord had prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto God out of the belly of the fish. The fish had took him down, but the fish brought him up. When he repented, the fish brought him up. You're always going down anytime you turn from the word of God. So are you ready to repent? Amen. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down for some cleansing, then I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Hear me sing, glory to His name. Keep singing, glory to His name, precious name. Singing, glory to His name, precious name. Revealed to my heart was the blood applied. Let me sing, glory to His name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Are you ready to repent? Amen. Thank you, Uncle John. As always, you certainly give us a solid, sound summary of the lesson. And certainly we thank you always for your song of praise as well. Such a fitting song for this morning. I'm going to ask if there are any other comments or words of encouragement that we would like to bring on today, even from Uncle John's message from the beginning. Certainly thanks, Ambassador Sister Wanda, for reading the scripture so in sync today from the New Living Translation. Thanking Pastor Reggie for joining with us, and all ambassadors, again, I'm like Uncle John, Mother Cora, so good to hear your voice back with us on Sunday morning. You don't know you're missed. It's like not having your mom there. So just so good to have you back. And other ambassadors, Sister Gloria, Ambassador Sister Gloria Brown out there, Ambassador Sister JJ out there. I don't know if Ambassador Sister Janice is with us today, but want to say good morning to her. Sister Ruby, Sister Pat, they may have gone to their assemblies today, but I want to say good morning to you. Also, we had a guest on the line earlier this morning, Ambassador Sister Lane, joining us here in Alabama. Thank you, ambassadors there at Cincinnati, Ohio. Ambassador Sister Alicia and Ambassador Brother Al. Also thanking my mother here, Ambassador Sister Azalee and Ambassador Uncle John and Ambassador Aunt Laura that's out there, Pastor Reggie, Pastor Reggie on the line, and Ambassador Sister Erica on the line this morning. I don't know if Ambassador Sister Gordon is on the line. She is one of our faithful listeners. I think she is somewhere in Wilkinson County. Wilkinson County, not 100% sure this morning, but she is one of our faithful listeners. You may not hear, but I will tell you I know that she is on the line. I don't know if Ambassador Sister Gladys is on the line this morning, but she's another faithful listener. Again, as I said, Sister JJ is out there. I don't know who else. If I missed you, why don't you let me know I missed your name? I don't want to miss anybody. Don't want to miss anybody who's joining with us. I'm going to pause for a minute. Anybody I may have missed this morning? Just come off of mute. Come off of mute. I want to hear you. Amen. Again, I want to thank all of you for joining with us. We mentioned earlier during our sharing, we do have a cousin. My first cousin is getting ready to do some mission work, Uncle John, over in Haiti. He's preparing in the next week or so to go there. He's only going to be there for a few days, but they are going to hit the pavement working there in Haiti. So we want to certainly pray for him. His name is Pastor Vincent Jennings. Praying Psalm 91 protection as they board the plane and their flight, their pilot, co-pilots that are there be assisting them to get there. And certainly, you know, protecting them from disease and other challenges that they may face. And they are really going over into Nineveh. They are going to Nineveh. And so we certainly want to be praying for them as they go. The ministry has provided some financial support. So I just want you all to know that. Because of your gifts, that all that you said, I want you to know that you have already, okay, you have already provided a gift for the mission field to Haiti. And that's what God wants us to do. But he also wants me as the leader of this ministry to be accountable, to you. It's not bragging, but it's being accountable that the money, the love offerings that you do send, we don't ask for anything. The Lord has just blessed us, but thank you for what you do and that we were able to give a sizable donation to that ministry for that to go forth. Also, we want to remind you, don't forget this evening, Pastor Reggie will be preaching in our evening service at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern and 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We will observe the Lord's Supper at that time. We will observe the Lord's Supper at that time this evening. I think I've covered everything. Continue to pray for the Clark Jones family. We also bless that family as well. Last Saturday, Pastor Clark eulogized, or she did not eulogize him, but her son transitioned to be with the Lord. He was 43 years old, and we supported that family, that ministry, and I just want to thank you all again. Y'all stepped up to the plate, and we were able to support them both in food as well as a monetary gift to them as well. Again, those of you that are on the journey of the New Testament, or if you would like to join us and you haven't joined us, please let me know. We would be glad to put a package in the mail for you. That package includes the readings along with a vial of oil, anointing oil that has been prayed over and fasted over by Pastor Reggie. Also, a Bible goes along with that, along with a journal goes with it as well. We want to become the ambassadors God has called us to be. We do have check-in at the end of the month to see how everyone is doing. In that reading, you're not just reading the New Testament, but you are provided two insights from the passage of that day that you read. You're provided some prayer prompters as well as life application, how to apply what you read. Because you can read all day, but if you don't apply it to your life, it's just like going to the doctor, Minister Alicia, and getting a prescription. And you know that you're supposed to take that medicine three times a day. And you decide to go to the doctor, go to the pharmacy, get the prescription, bring it in your house and set it on your counter and never use it. So we want to be able to apply the word, do more than just read, apply it to our lives and be doers of the word. I believe that's our announcements for today. Again, thank all of you for your love, your concern, and certainly for interceding for us here in Macon and interceding for others, because I am interceding for you and calling your name out. And as the Lord leads me, whatever that is, Uncle John, we still have Deborah on our list, Dr. Deborah, Uncle John's youngest daughter. Mother Cora is on our list. We're standing on Isaiah 53, 4, and 5 for her. Also, Mother Neal, my mother, is on our prayer agreement list, standing, too, on Isaiah 53, 4, and 5 for her. So are there any other announcements or any other prayer agreements on today before we close out?
Yeah, I would like to put my one of my great-granddaughters on the list. She's eight, almost nine, and she's in the hospital, and I'd like to put her name on the list, please. And I'm standing on Isaiah 40:10 because I want her to realize that she is not alone.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. She's not alone. Amen. What's her name, Mother Cora?
Harlem Barris.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Any others? Don't want to miss anybody? Those that are in Ohio, or is everything well there? In Ohio and Alabama and Atlanta, Stockbridge. Amen. Want to make sure all is well in Macon. In Macon, my family there in Macon. Amen. We're going to close with this scripture this morning. And Mother Cora, that scripture you gave for your great-grand, what was that scripture again, please? You're on mute, Mother Cora.
Did you hear me?
No, ma'am. Give me that scripture again.
Isaiah 41:10.
Amen. That's exactly where I was. Amen. That's exactly the place I was. Amen. Any others? If not, we're going to go ahead and close, and we're going to close with that scripture, Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to ask you to close with that, Mother Cora, and close us out with prayer on today. That scripture and prayer. Thank you so much.
Isaiah 41:10 reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thanking you for your word, allowing it to come forth this morning to listening ears and an open heart. We continue, O Heavenly Father, to give your name thanks for all that you do for all of us, O Heavenly Father. We thank you, Father, for not being a selfish God. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the extension of your salvation that you have offered to whosoever. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for teaching us that the wages for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We give your name the praise. We give your name the glory. And it's all done in your name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. If you can join us this evening, please come on back. Please come on back and join us in our first Sunday. And as I said, we will administer the Lord's Supper this evening. Amen. Amen. Hey, look, we got some Ninevehs out there. Some Ninevehs out there. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go to those Ninevehs, those places, those large cities, small cities, and share the message of Jesus Christ. Have a great day.
Yeah.